Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Hey, everybody, I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem. I also seem to have technical problems, because Brian and I recorded an awesome show that you guys would have loved, and my Skype recorder didn't actually record Brian's audio, so I seem like a crazy person talking to myself, and I don't want to seem like a crazy person talking to myself, except I'm recording by myself, so I am a crazy person talking to myself. And I know you guys come to listen to me over Brian anyway, so hey, win-win, right? No, it's not. I miss you, Brian. Okay, well, what I'm going to do, is I'm going to talk about the news and notes. I'm going to go over the week's worth of trades, and I'm going to leave the main topic of the episode for next week, because it wasn't really time relevant, so we'll just add some news and notes and new trades to next week, and you'll get some recycled material. Well, new to you, so it's still new, right, guys? All right, so news. First, we'll deal with the Carolina Panthers being purchased for $2.2 billion. Now, not only was it purchased for $2.2 billion, it was purchased for $2.2 billion in cash. This dude had $2.2 billion in cash. What, shoved in a mattress? That is a mattress. It's like that scene in Breaking Bad where those two guys are in that storage closet with that gigantic mound of cash and they just sort of lay down on it. Because what else do you do with that big a pile of money? You just sort of lay down on it. I don't even know what I would do with $2.2 billion in cash, though I would love to find out. There's no fantasy relevance to that. I just wanted to point out that some dude had $2.2 billion in cash, and I have been saying $2.2 billion in cash a lot. So I'm going to say it one more time, $2.2 billion in cash. Besides that, it was breaking news while we were recording, but it's about an hour or two old now. Hunter Henry, the tight end for the Los Angeles Chargers, tore his ACL in OTAs. And like my man Brian put on Twitter, we complain and we, you know, give players crap when they want to sit out of OTAs, and some guy who was ready to make his breakout tears his ACL day one, day two. It's a shame, man. I have always been a Hunter Henry fan, and I'm still a Hunter Henry fan. I don't think this kills his career or anything, because ACLs aren't what they used to be. But it sucks. There's no real way around it. Bye, 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 if you can. You know, try and see what you can float out to grab him. Someone that, like me, only had him as their tight end. Even if he's thrown a late first out there, I would still see if you can get it. I would probably take a late first in this draft for Hunter Henry, especially if it wasn't that big of a tight end premium. The Trade Addicts leagues are 1.75 tight end premium. That's a lot. I would probably want to hang on to Hunter Henry, unless it was a nice, nice deal. But it's always worth a shot. That's what I always say, at least, even when I'm offering a bad trade and someone says no. Hey, worth a try, right? Because what happens? They might say yes. All right, so after that, it's on to our trades. We had two trades in Trade Addicts 3 and one trade in Trade Addicts 4, finally. So we'll do a little 3-4-3 action just to keep things separated a little bit. For the first trade in Trade Addicts 3, I'll remind you every time, Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. And this time, we have some tight ends to talk about. Hallelujah. Our first trade, Christian Kirk for Jimmy Graham and Anthony Miller. This trade was lopsided on Twitter. I didn't think it was going to be this lopsided, but yeah, sorry, Christian Kirk guy. I don't remember who actually did this, who got the winning side, who got the losing side, but Twitter said there's a winner and loser, so boo-hoo. I disagree. I chose Christian Kirk in this. To me, this is exactly what I want to do with certain levels of tight ends. Sorry, Jimmy Graham, you're kind of a lower-level tight end at this point in your career. I want to use lower-level tight ends to upgrade other positions. I don't think Jimmy Graham is going to be much use in Green Bay. I don't think Green Bay uses tight ends, and I don't know if it's just because I'm a Seattle fan, so I watched him for the past 2 years, but the guy is done. The dude can barely run. He's a red zone threat still. Yeah, definitely. He caught, what, 10 touchdowns, and it was in, like, the final six games of last year? But still, he was the only red zone threat there. Here in Green Bay, they have Davante Adams, who is their red zone threat, and he's also their number one wide receiver. If anything, Jimmy Graham does catch those touchdowns, but the premium doesn't even help him. Yeah, you get that one catch for the touchdown, but is he really going to get more than, what, four catches a game? I don't think so, but you could also get players at similar costs that will just get six catches a game, in which case I'd rather have that, because more catches leads to more yards, leads to probably more touchdowns. I don't want to deal with a Tyler Eifert kind of guy who, if he catches a touchdown, he wins you a week. If he doesn't, you get a 0.4. I mean, I want to stay away from those guys, and to me, that's what Jimmy Graham's going to be this year. Anthony Miller, I think, is awesome. He is at the edge of the cliff of this draft for me. After Anthony Miller, there is nobody else I care about until you hit the mid-late third rounds when you start throwing some darts. But Anthony Miller is awesome. I don't want to make it seem like this side of the trade was bad to me. I think there's, what, five-ish spots in between Christian Kirk and Anthony Miller in rookie drafts. The difference to me is Christian Kirk has been eking his way up in drafts, and Anthony Miller has been the same. He hasn't really moved anywhere. So I would take Christian Kirk, who I think has a chance to be not necessarily the centerpiece of their offense, because they still have David Johnson, but to be a very large part of their offense. Anthony Miller really can only be the number two wide receiver, because I don't think he's taking over Allen Robinson, and Allen Robinson is a beast. So Anthony Miller will get his targets. He will get his catches. I like him. I think he'll turn into a nice player. But I think Christian Kirk will turn into a more used player and a longer used player. Not a better player, because fantasy doesn't always equal the NFL. So I think, just for fantasy purposes, I would take Christian Kirk over Anthony Miller. And to me, unless Jimmy Graham would end up being the only tight end I have, it doesn't really sway me too much. So I would take the Christian Kirk side on this. Twitter said 24-76, Jimmy Graham and Anthony Miller over Christian Kirk. That is lopsided. I don't agree. You're wrong, Twitter. Take that. Our trade addicts for our hashtag big boy trade. This is Brandon Cooks, Tyreek Hill, a 2019 first and a 2020 first. Had to read that a little slow because there's a lot of pieces. For DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, and a 2019 second. All right, one more time. Cooks, Tyreek, a 19 first, a 20 first. For DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, and a 19 second. This was the first trade in Trade Addicts 4, and this was also a Brian trade. I picked the DeAndre Hopkins side when voting for this. DeAndre Hopkins is also the side that Brian got, so hooray, Brian. Also, Twitter chose the DeAndre Hopkins side, so hooray for Brian again. You won the trade in my mind and in Twitter's mind. What else does that really matter? You win! This trade, weirdly enough, has been broken down in a very similar fashion by everyone who I saw talk about it, either in chats or on Twitter. It really comes down to Tyreek Hill and those firsts for DeAndre Hopkins, and then Cooks for Watkins and the 19 second. I would rather have DeAndre Hopkins over Hill and the firsts. First of all, the firsts are futures spreading out over 2 years, so there's going to be a long return on investment on those. And Tyreek is so streaky. I made a joke in the middle of the season last year calling him the prairie dog, first of all, because I like making poop jokes, and second of all, it was so weird to see Tyreek Hill score double digits, single digits, double digits, single digits. The guy didn't have two good games in a row. And I guess technically, if you can count on inconsistency, it is consistency, but it's still not something I want to count on as high of an asset that you need to buy him as. So if I can throw Tyreek Hill and they could even be the 112s for the next 2 years to get me who could be the 101 in dynasty startups, hashtag always Odell. But still, some people will take DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, I do that every time. And then it comes down to Brandon Cooks and for Sammy Watkins in a 19 second. I'll take Cooks. I like Cooks better as a player, and I like his situation better. Everyone is going right to saying, hey, Cooks is just going to walk into the Watkins role, and he's going to be ignored just like Watkins is. I really don't think that's the case. First of all, I don't think they're similar players. I think Cooks has more, clearly has more speed to his game because the dude's just faster than most people. But also, I think he can be used in more ways than Watkins can. And I think McVay is the right guy to use a tricky player in tricky ways and to make him relevant both in the NFL offense and for your fantasy team. I like Sammy. The Chiefs is very crowded, and do we really expect Mahomes to do better than Alex Smith did in the best year? I guess, I don't know if that's subjective or objective or not, but we'll just say the best year of Alex Smith's career, especially his rookie year. I mean, I don't think that's something you could count on. So either, even if Mahomes has a good year, I mean, how much of that can really go to Sammy to make him, I mean, I don't think we can even think to call him a wide receiver one anymore. I mean, does he make top 24? I hope so, because I like him, but I don't really know if that's going to happen. And I don't think I want to count on that in the next two-ish years. And that's all I really play Dynasty in, is 2 to 3 year windows, because you can't even really predict what next week is going to hold. How are you predicting what 5 years from now is going to have? So I would take the DeAndre Hopkins side. Don't get me wrong, this trade is awesome. This trade is a team maker for both of these sides. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is what you build your team around. And I also happen to know that Brian has Michael Thomas on his team. And a team with DeAndre Hopkins and Michael Thomas literally makes me drool. I am drooling right now. Hold on while I wipe the drool from my mouth. And for the other side, Cooks and Hill are the two kind of players that if you have a steady player, like Jarvis Landry is always the go-to, but if you could fill your team with Landry, Crowder, those guys that are just going to get you a bunch of PPR points, having the high variance of Cooks and Hill could make you unbeatable in certain weeks. If both those guys have their 20 to 40 point games the same week, it's going to, you know, check in the win column. It's risky, but it's fun, and that's what this game is all about. And not to mention, you're getting two firsts in the future, and in Superflex leagues, high picks are worth a little bit more than they normally are to the rest of you guys. So I think this is an awesome trade, and it was the first trade of the league, so that makes it even awesomer that it was an awesome trade. Awesome, 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 saying awesome a lot. So good job, you guys. Do some more. So now let's move on to the next Trade Addicts 3 trade, which is our hashtag baby trade, and it's mine because I couldn't talk about Brian's trade and not one of mine because this is my show, Brian. This is another tight end trade. It is Charles Clay in a 2023rd for AJ McCarron and Ito Smith. These are the kind of trades I love. I always say baby trades make the world go round because they form teams and they're fun and easy to do. I traded away Charles Clay and got AJ McCarron. That was the meat to this trade. I have on my team Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, and those are my only two quarterbacks. I'm not sure how I ended up a draft with only two quarterbacks, but at least they're good, right? But my real problem is I have Wentz, who we're not even 100% sure is going to be ready to start the season. So I needed someone that I know, no is a strong word for AJ McCarron, but has a very good chance of starting the season. So, and since, again, I had to give that long pause and justify the fact that he should be starting the season, he's cheap. Charles Clay is the same thing. Every year, Charles Clay should be the guy, should be a thing, and he's never really a thing because he can't stay healthy and because he's on Buffalo. So this guy needed tight ends. I needed a quarterback. It came down to little pieces just to make it work for each other. So this is a nice, easy swap. I think we both win. We both got the pieces we need. But this is also something I want to talk about. Ito Smith is awesome. I like him. I think he's in a great situation because I think we all believe that Tevin Coleman is out of the Falcons after this year, which leaves an opening in that offense for their second running back. And if that happens to be Ito Smith, I mean, this is a steal. So whenever you are making a trade and has that little bit of difference in value, go for dart throws. Find out who they're going to drop if it's an uneven trade and, you know, they need to drop someone instead of letting them drop them. Be like, just throw them over to me. I'll take them. Because you never know what's going to happen, especially this early in the offseason. Hunter Henry can tear his ACL, and whoever... Do they even have a backup tight end in Los Angeles? I don't even know. But whoever that guy's backup is can end up being worth something. So if something happens to Tevin Coleman or to Devontae Freeman, you know, I literally got Ito Smith for next to nothing, and he could be worth something. Or next year he could be worth something. This is the long game, so you got to play the long game. All right, well, that's all I have to talk about. And since it's weird sitting here talking to myself, I'm going to stop doing that. So thanks for listening. Sorry again. I'm going to do my best to recover the awesome show that could have been and get it out for you next week again, hopefully. Just real quick, I'm just going to say, don't be like my Skype recorder. Don't be a jerk. It's very easy to be nice to people. Be nice to people. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. I guess it was fun. I don't know. This was weird. I miss Brian. Where are you, Brian? Are you thinking of me right now? Because I'm thinking of you. All right, this got weird. All right, listen to the lovely lady. Do what she says. See you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.